set the scene for our reading today. Israelites are in the wilderness having escaped Egypt. And we have a scene with Moses talking with Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister. In fact, Aaron and Miriam are giving Moses a hard time about his wife. We also have an appearance of our God from the Old Testament today. While they were in Hazareth, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had indeed married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And when the cloud went away from the tent, Miriam had become leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam and saw that she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not let her be like one stillborn whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of its mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh, God, please heal her." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march until Miriam had been brought back in again. After that, the people set out from Hazareth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Such devoted sister.
My mom used to sing that. Just that part. She never remembered all the words to anything. But she would sing that, and then she would always tell us how she didn't have a natural sister, and so she had to get one because she needed a sister. Everyone did. And so she did. She got herself one in Daisy, Girl Scout Daisy Troop, whatever, when you're like 6 years old. Her and another young woman who also didn't have any sisters decided from that day forward they would be sisters. And they were for 65 or more years. And then she would turn to me and my sister, who are usually arguing at this point, and she would say, "So appreciate each other." And sometimes she would say, "Be thankful for each other." I am thankful for my sister. It seems that that bond of sisterhood can be stronger than some of the bonds of life. I know there's lots of types of bonds in life, but that bond of sisterhood can run very deep. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. I shared with you last week some of the challenges that I have been having with this sermon series in July on women. I wanted to share with you, especially from the Old Testament, some very strong scriptures of women and how their roles in their relationships also helped them to be leaders of the faith. And I shared with you my extreme frustration with some of the horrific things that are written about women in the Bible, if you can find any at all. But I'm not going to give up. I think there are positive, life-giving, hope-filled scriptures in this Bible that include women. And today, I wanted to share with you about sisters. Now, we've heard of some of the sisters in the Bible, and often they're the sisters of brothers, so there's brother-sister combos, but there's some real special sister-sister combos, right? And I bet you can name a couple of them. The easiest ones are Rachel and Leah, right? Mary and Martha, right? Yeah, and then today, Jim shared with us Miriam, the sister of Moses, credited for being the sister who, when Pharaoh said to the women that we're going to kill all the boys under two, and Moses' mother laid him in a basket of reeds, that Miriam stood by. And when Pharaoh's daughter chose Moses to come home with her, Miriam, very smart, said, "I have a wet nurse for you if you'd like," and went and got her mother. So Moses got to be raised by his natural mother and his adopted mother. Pretty lucky, right? So we know from a very beginning that Miriam is very in tune with being a sister and some of the dutiful roles of sisterhood. She was a prophet, though, in her own right. Sometimes we forget that and just let her be the sister, right? And today she is representing that for us, that of Moses, the one that, "Thus says the Lord, I will speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." So Moses was pretty important to God, and being Moses' sister, she was pretty important to God. Moses was the one that led God's people out of slavery and out of Egypt and to the edge of the promised land. But he didn't do it alone. In fact, if you look closely at some of the scriptures about Moses and that journey, Moses admits that he doesn't have all the skills to do what he thinks God is asking him to do. So his brother Aaron becomes a big help. Some think of Aaron as Moses' mouthpiece when needed. Yeah. But Miriam also. And we can read in the Bible how the people followed Miriam, how she led. In the account from Numbers that Jim shared with us, we hear of Miriam and Aaron's complaining about their lack of uniqueness they thought that their brother might hold, right? And Jim read it so much nicer than I've ever been able to read it, because to me it really comes out more like, "Aw, you can't possibly think that Moses is the only one," right? I see two young people, or young enough, quarreling with each other and using those voices that most of us would rather never hear and trying to figure out why Moses thought he was so darn special when God had used them too. Now, they were resigned to not just be sidekicks or addendums to his story, but they recognized that they too were called by God and used by God. In fact, if we turn to Exodus chapter 15, sorry, my post-it notes are all on the wrong pages today. But in Exodus chapter 15 at verse 20, we hear Miriam's song. "Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing, and she sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider has been thrown into the sea.'" Not quite the words of today's song or one that I have ever sang, but something that for them was very meaningful. And the women followed her. Yes, it follows Moses' song, but that doesn't negate the importance of it. And then in today's scripture, we hear about how when Miriam was set to solitude for 7 days, how the people refused to march without her, how they didn't move on or leave her there. They didn't do all the things they normally did. They waited for her. I wonder if it's because they didn't know how to go without her leading, or if it was really out of devotion or love. I think there's a story of healing, of petition on behalf of his sister that we get from Aaron in this scripture that brings me peace. And that's not always the case in the stories of sisterhood in the Bible. Remember Rachel and Leah, right? Oh, those sisters, huh? They didn't have it so good. In case you don't remember or you want to be reminded, I'll tell you. Well, he was speaking with them, which is Jacob. Rachel came from her father's sheep, and she kept them. Now, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of his mother's brother Laban, and the sheep of his mother's brother Laban, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of his mother's brother. That means he was really smitten for her. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father right away. And when Laban heard the news about his sister's son Jacob, he ran to meet him. He embraced him and he kissed him and brought him into his house. And Jacob told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. The story continues that Jacob offered to work to have Rachel as his wife. And so for 7 years he worked. But then on the last day, on the day of the wedding, when he was to receive Rachel as his wife, the dad did a switcheroo and gave him Leah instead. And that wasn't a great surprise. And so he worked for more years to get Rachel, because that's the one he wanted. As you can well imagine, this bartering tactic and switcherooski that their daddy played on them did not make for Rachel and Leah's relationship to go very well. In fact, there's generations and generations of quarreling and spiting and hurting that continues, and it all stems back to their dad's trickery. Generational feuding. The ugly parts of relationship. What are you thinking about when I tell you about these women, these sisters? Some of you might be remembering your own sisters or brothers or families or your own desire to have a sister or when you used to hear that song and sing along, right? But are you able to also think about how God has bound you, or the special binding that you, especially you women, have with other women of faith, and how God might be calling us as women to unite in sisterhood, to share in relationships, to not let a dad or a man's foolishness come between us, but instead to move forward on faith, knowing that we have been called to something, something big. I'm saddened that even in the stories I shared with you today about sisters, we always have to reference the man for which they're attached to. So-and-so is their brother, so-and-so is their dad, so-and-so is their uncle, right? I pray for our daughters of faith, that they can be recognized not just for whom they're related to, but also for how God has called them. We can learn a lot from the recording of this griping between sisters and brothers. We can learn about how things don't work when you don't work together, or about how using another person as a pawn or as a transaction is never beneficial in the kingdom of God. Do you remember that story? Is it Dinah? Is that her name? Yeah, the one whose brother, yeah, he traded her, you know, and then he wanted her back. Yeah, okay, I'm going to say it a little wrong, but what happens there is that he says, hey, we could overcome that whole village if we offer out our sister to this man. He'll be so enthralled with her that he won't even notice. And when that doesn't work, then he says, if you really want to keep my sister, you all have to be circumcised. And then when they all get circumcised, the whole men of all the village, and they're laying there in pain, then they go in and crush them. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really powerful story. It is. Because he hits them while they're down, right? And he knows just where to get them. Yeah. Yeah. But then he does awful things to his sister instead of accepting that he could maybe just be the helper in that story. The Old Testament is full of lots of stories. Most of them I don't read out loud on Sunday morning in worship because they just don't feel worshipful to me. But I think that the relationships are. I think they give me reassurance that we're not in this alone. When I think about the women that we'll hear about in the next couple weeks, the ones who become wives or mothers in the Bible, when I think about their strength and how they led God's people, I remember that first they were daughters, and some of them were sisters, and that those relationships, those exchanges of information, those opportunities to grow, gave them the power and the will and the skills to be women who led God's people. Yeah. I'm reminded that God uses our relationships to help us care for God's people. I hope you'll dig in to some of the stories. Oh, I'm so thankful. Someone shared with me that their devotion was about somebody else's daughter. So I got to go back in and read a little bit more about another daughter of the Bible, right? But they're in there. Men, we won't forget you, but you get to hit like 48 weeks of this lectionary. So this month, we're looking at the women. Women of faith, what can we do? How can we be agents of change? How can we transform this world in such a way that people can assemble and expect peace? That people can gather and feel safe? That our children can learn? That our families can have what they need, and that our communities can grow and strive in the love of God. What can we do? I pray that that is on your heart this week. And men, how can you support the women who are leading the transformational space in this world? With God's help, may we all be called, and may we all accept that call. This day and always. Amen.